when we read this gospel, we might be shocked at how much of a jerk our Lord is, how cruel he is towards her, how he ignores her first, and then he insults her. And that might be very shocking for us. But that's not what would have shocked the people that were there. That's not what would have shocked the Jews that had heard this story or those who had read it later. That's not what would have shocked them. What would have shocked them was the fact that he was talking to her at all, that she was permitted to even come into his presence at all. Because, you know, good Jews didn't deal with Gentiles. Canaanites were Gentiles. They were not part of the kingdom of Israel. They were not part of the children of Israel. They were separate. And Jewish law prohibited strictly having any association with those who were not Jews. They were the chosen race, so they stayed separate from everyone else as much as they could. Obviously, with the Roman Empire conquering them, they didn't have much choice in the matter there, but they wouldn't willingly associate with those who were of Gentile origin. Now, interestingly, our Lord, as I was just reading this morning, really wasn't even being a jerk. He really wasn't being insulting. Now, I don't speak a word of Greek. I don't read the Greek language as it was used at the time of our Lord, so I have to go by other scholars for this. But according to the scholar that I read, that our Lord did not use the word dog in the sense of a mongrel or a mutt or a stray. He used the word that was more like puppy, pet. So this isn't like an unwanted dog. You know, you don't throw the children's food out in the street for the mongrels, the mutts to eat. No, what he's saying is you don't take the children's food and put it on the floor for your pet to eat. Is kind of more the sense that our Lord was using. And she reciprocated that, saying, yeah, but the pets get fed from the table too. Our Lord was actually being, as I understand this from the scholar, more playful. This wasn't a harsh rebuke. It was challenging her. And it was challenging her to draw out her faith, so that she could profess her faith in him. That she wasn't going to see him because he was famous or anything like that. She was going to him because she knew that he was God and was the Lord and could heal her daughter, could free her daughter from the demon. That's what's going on in this passage. And another surprise to the Jews is not just that she was there and was speaking to our Lord, and that our Lord was pulling this declaration of faith out of her, but that her persistence paid off. That she persisted in that request, despite our Lord challenging her, and received what she was asking. Her daughter was healed from this demon. That obviously was a surprise. But it shouldn't have, because our Lord came for all, not just for the Jews, but for all the nations, all peoples of all time. That salvation that was first promised to the Jews is now open to everyone, regardless of what nationality or race you come from. It's now open to all. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in the first reading, talking about the foreigners who will join themselves to the Lord, and that my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. That the temple, the Jewish temple, would not just be for the Jews, but be for all. And of course, I've talked before how the design of our churches, how we build our churches, is a fulfillment of the Jewish temple. It takes the model of the Jewish temple as its base. So it's easy for us to understand that the house of the Lord, the church, not just in the sense of a building, but the church as a whole, the body of Christ, is to be a house of prayer for all peoples, for all of us, for all the nations. And it is interesting that this Canaanite woman, her daughter was the one healed. Because as I said, the Canaanites were the wrong people. They weren't the people that the Jews would want to receive this miracle, to receive this message. Because they weren't Jews. They were the wrong people. And I think we still have this tendency as Christians that we judge who we're going to talk to about our faith and who we're going to invite to church and who we're going to proclaim the good news of the gospel to. And there are people in our world today that we would consider the wrong people. That they're not worthy to be Christians, or at least not worthy to be Christians in our presence. And a lot of times it's people who are living in some sort of sin. Maybe they're troublemakers. Maybe they're people that are always causing fights or arguments. Maybe they're people who struggle with addiction. They struggle with drugs or alcohol. And it's interesting, especially when we talk about someone who's struggling with addiction, one of the first steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, as I recall, is to recognize that there's a higher power, that there's someone or something greater than them, and it helps them to come out of their addiction, which makes it all the worse that we're not trying to reach out to those we know who are struggling with addiction and inviting them to know the gospel, inviting them to come and join us for church and so on. But do we also judge those who we think are so wrapped up in the world that they would have no interest in in Christianity, no interest in the faith? And there are a lot of people, more and more people are falling away from any kind of practice of the faith. And because they're so caught up in the things of the world, in the ideas of the world, that they lose sight that there is a God who loves us and who wants us to come to him. Do we reach out to them? Do we reach out to those people that we might consider the wrong people? But it's also important for us to recognize that there are times when we can be the wrong people, in the sense that we turn away from God in disobedience. We turn inward, we turn to ourselves, we turn to the world, we turn every way but him. And we fall into sin, which is disobedience. Disobedience to God and his will. This is what St. Paul was talking about. We can disobey God. And we need to turn back to him. And he will welcome us when we turn back to him and seek his mercy. Seek his forgiveness. That is why we have the sacrament of confession. And why the sacrament of confession is so important. That's how we go from disobeying to obeying. That's how we go from sin to God's mercy, is through the sacrament of confession. So it is so important that we receive that sacrament when we do fall into disobedience, when we do fall into sin. And again, the Canaanite woman is the example of this returning to God. She was a Gentile, but she turned to the God of Israel, the one true God. And she persisted in her prayer to receive the healing she sought. And sometimes we can feel like this Canaanite woman, where we're asking God for something, we're praying for something that we know is so needed. It's not like, please, Lord, let it be a nice sunny day tomorrow, but like, please, Lord, heal my family member, my friend. Please, Lord, help me through this situation, where these are real serious issues that we are seeking God's love, God's mercy. And we can feel like the Canaanite woman, where we say, I'm not getting any response. We can feel like there's no response. We're not getting nothing back from God. We're being ignored, it feels like. It feels like God's ignoring us. Or what it seems like the answer we're going to get is not yet. We're being brushed off. It's not time yet. Wait for later. It'll happen eventually, just not now. Or maybe we feel like there is no feeling, like we pray and it's dry and it's boring. And if we sit in here in prayer, we're sitting in an empty room talking to ourselves. These are the times when we need to persevere all the more. Because these are the times when God is trying to pull out of us our faith in Him. Just as Jesus pulled that faith out of that Canaanite woman, God is trying to pull that faith out of us so that we can show how we believe in Him, that we can show that faith that we have in Him, and that we trust in Him, and that we turn to Him and follow Him. And that's why prayer every day is so important. Why every day as Christians we take time, especially at those times when it is dry, especially at those times when it is difficult. That makes it all the more important. It draws us closer to our Lord, and it has power. It has the power to change us. It has the power to heal, and it has the power to draw us closer to Him, to come to know Him all the more deeply. We see that with St. Paul. He was led through his prayer after his conversion to go out to the Gentiles through the work of the Holy Spirit, to proclaim the good news to the world. We too can hear that call. We too can be drawn out of ourselves to reach out to those we consider less than us, those we consider the wrong people. May we truly seek to enter into that prayer, to enter into that obedience to God, turning away from disobedience to obedience to God, and to be like the Canaanite woman, persevering in that prayer.